This is the moment of the year.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
No way! What is that?
We're getting football back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And I'm not talking about quarterback competitions. I'm talking about the freaking New York Jets having a curse hanging over.
They're starting quarterback with a non-contact injury.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero. Still to come, three-time Super Bowl champion Julian Edelman, plus the Fire Pit Collective golf writer Alan Shipnuck. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and man, I'm fired up because we haven't had this guy in our studio here in Los Angeles in quite some time, and he is here, and we are fired up on NBC Sports on Peacock and Sirius XM 85 and the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, coast to coast. Our podcast listeners, when you want to listen to this interview, I'm sure you'll listen to it many times because I'm excited about it, and it'll be great. This man happens to be an MVP of Super Bowl 53 for you non-Romans out there, just the 5-3, three-time Super Bowl champion, and he is now, along with the very funny Sam Morrill, who's been on this program before, a new podcast that launches next week on Tuesday, August 23rd, Games with Names, the co-host of that podcast, Julian Edelman, here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, man. It's just, like, so professional in here. I do have to...
What do you get
something off my chest.
What do you got to get off your chest?
So if you, as you see my shirt.
Yes, sir.
And I got some, you know, dad shoes on. I was you know, just rummaging around my dad's closet a couple weeks ago. I found this shirt and I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to wear some dad swag.
Yes.
On with the dad joke king himself.
Is that a compliment?
I mean, look at best dad ever. It's right there. We got dad everywhere in here. We're talking about kids right when I get in here. I feel daddy in here.
Daddy, not like daddy.
Yeah, like daddy.
Right.
Is this a good thing? It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I do have the title of best dad ever, and if you come at the king, you best not miss. I don't mean to be that aggressive, but that's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna teach you something, Rich. My mom told me in fourth grade I was the most handsomest boy in the class. I knew Jeff Belwamany was the most handsome boy in the class. Okay, so I'm telling you right now, family lies to make you feel good. Okay, was not the handsomest guy.
But I gotta ask this question: Is your mom the Jewish mom or not?
No,
she's not.
My dad's the Jewish.
Your dad's the Jewish guy. Thus, the Jewish part of this whole equation. I got it. All right, because that does sound like a Jewish mother. You're beautiful. You're the most beautiful boy of all time. My gosh. It worked out for you, though.
The whole thing worked out for you.
We're
doing all right. We're doing all right.
Do you miss football, Julian Edelman?
I do. I miss it more this year than I did last year.
What do you miss?
I miss waking up in August,
mm-hmm.
going to the field, smelling the fresh cut grass, seeing the sprinklers just finished, seeing our equipment guys setting all the stuff out,
mm-hmm.
the locker room, the fellas,
mm-hmm.
the competition, and, you know, now being in my second year out, I can actually miss it because last year it was still ingrained in my head. That last year was rough. You know, football is not fun when you feel like or crap. I've been doing so many podcasts. I apologize.
It's all good. I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
So,
Dad.
Yeah, there you go. You know what I mean?
Earmuffs around Lily.
Earmuffs.
I mean, good Lord, give his daughter earmuffs.
Sorry.
Nice.
But, you know, like, this is my first year. My body's felt kind of pretty good.
Oh, that's
and
good.
That's when you start to go back into that mindset of when the game was at its easiest for you, when you were in your best physical shape and it cross-paired with your smarts of the game. And that's when you miss it, when you can go out and compete at a high level consistently.
So what was your moment where pregame – where you knew you were ready to roll and that actually happened for you? So you got one of those moments where you're warming up, you're feeling it, you feel good about it, you know that the game plan is set, you know, Tommy's all ready to roll, you've got a couple plays in your back pocket that you know are going to torch You got one of those moments for me?
Well, I would always feel my speed in pregame. On the first curl route, we kind of had the same routine. I would run a comeback and then a curl. And I could always tell how my feet were feeling. But now, since we're in the preseason mode, in the preseason mindset right now,
yeah.
And I know everyone thinks preseason is good for nothing. I understand that. But there's a lot of guys out there right now that are vying and fighting for a job. Mm. And it brings me back to the pregame of August 16, 2009 at Lincoln Financial Field, my first preseason game against the Eagles, and went out there. And I just remember Mikey Wright was looking at me. He was a veteran, and he looks at me. He goes, hey, Brooke, settle down. It's a preseason game, because I was so intense. And I still kept that mindset throughout my career, just to keep in an intense, you know, checklist, going over all my plays, going over everything, starting my routine then and really getting it down so you feel the most prepared you can feel going into a game. So I remember that specific feeling going to that game, because it was my real first game in the National Football League. Scotty O'Brien, special teams guru, comes up to me before the game, says you're going to start on kickoff. Ended up opening the game with the tackle. First punt, took back to the house after, you know, they repunted. Had five catches with Tom Brady when it was his game back from his ACL. So there was a lot of things that went into that game that I remember, that pregame feeling, and to go out and have that game that you had. You know, it was just, that's what I'm in the mindset right now. Because
that's a photo from the game right there.
That was it right there.
That's where you take
it to
the
house. Sam Aiken right behind me, my guy.
Damn. So did Belichick say anything to you after that game? Did he come up to you after the game and say anything to the Rook who just balled out on special teams, which, as you know, is his sweet spot?
Like, started the league.
That's where you get Bill Belichick at hello.
1975, Baltimore Colts.
Yeah, that's how you get him when you're a rookie trying to shine out. So did he say anything to you after that?
I don't specifically remember him saying anything special. I think he may have gave me like a slap on the back as coming off the field. I mean, he was excited. You could see he was probably excited for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he likes to see his young players that are fighting for a job. He likes to see them go out and perform. So I don't specifically remember, but I think he gave me a little slap on the back. And, you know, there's that infamous Wally Pipp thing that he says to Ernie that's gone super all over the world. That he said to like Welker. So then you saw that kind of stuff going on. But nothing specific to me.
Okay. Julian Edelman here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Games with Names podcast. We'll talk about that in a minute here on the program. So you said you're feeling good. I mean, what do you think? Good enough? Like, if a call comes in from Tampa, Florida or New England, would you do it? Would you go in that direction, Julian?
You know, I tell you right now, if I had 3 weeks... Three, maybe 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, start of the season, absolutely not. But if there's a team vying for a playoff run, guy goes down, could I get ready? I mean, I probably could.
Would you want to do it?
I mean, that depends on the situation at that time. You know, right now I'm looking forward to Games with Names. We're about to launch this unbelievable podcast. I got Inside the NFL streaming on Paramount Plus, of course.
There you go. Yes, sir.
So I got that coming.
Nicely done. So there's an I in Julian. I understand that. But you're a team player as well.
No, but there's an E for Edelman.
Attaboy.
There's an E for Edelman. I used to say that.
No, and obviously those things you could do it at the same time, and they could be waiting for you too at the very end of the day.
Yeah, you know, hey. You can never say never. But I'm excited for the opportunities I have coming on my plate right now. And, you know, if any of those situations ever come up, I mean, of course, you got to take a look at them.
I like it. Julian Edelman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. Games with Names podcast, you and Sam Morrill together chit-chatting about sports' most iconic and infamous moments with the people who are doing it, right?
With the people that are playing in it.
So you got Peyton Manning, Paul Pierce, Michael Irvin to start off?
Teddy Bruschi, Eli. We got a lot of guys. We got Ricky Williams.
Okay.
Some Bransky, Adrian Peterson talking about that Statue of Liberty game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a lot of cool perspectives of these important games that were, you know, big games in history, not just in football, but in basketball, baseball, soccer. You know, and it's always cool to, like, get the other person's perspective. Like, this all came in concept. We thought about this because one of our producers, Kyler, he was at a bar on Thanksgiving. He locks eyes with a guy that he's he doesn't know, but he knows. And he finds out that these two guys played football against each other in high school, and they were going over, like, in an important game. And they're going over their perspective of how the game hit them, and it was interesting to, you know, see each side of the perspective. And so that's kind of where we got it. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, who's the GOAT, but what about the GOG? Greatest of all games. We need to find out. And everyone always likes to sit and talk crap with their boys or their girls or their friends about this game's the best, that game's the best. I mean, best college football game in my life was the USC-Texas game. You guys remember that?
Of course.
Like, that was insane.
At the Rose Bowl.
But then I want to hear an old-timer like Rich. He probably has some, like, 1982 game. Oh. What's your favorite one?
What, to talk about?
Yeah, like, favorite game of all time in college.
That I was... Oh, in college.
College game. We'll start with college.
College game that I was at...
Well, it didn't go well for Michigan,
that's
right?
That's the problem. It never went well for me.
Rocket taking two back.
Yeah, it was the first game I ever covered for the Michigan Daily.
Ooh.
And then there was a time where Jimmy Johnson brought the Miami Hurricanes in, and we were waving goodbye to them, you know, that whole business. They came back from 10 points down with 5 minutes to go, lost that. But the best part about that was the Michigan hockey team had seats behind us. In the student section, and there was a Miami Hurricane fan who showed up in the first half wearing head-to-toe Miami Hurricane stuff, and they snuck a keg into the stadium and got so hammered that they stripped the guy naked, and he had to wear basically somebody's sweatshirt to go buy gear, and now he was dressed in Michigan gear from head to toe. How's that for an oral history?
I mean,
wow.
Yeah, he was stripped naked by the Michigan hockey team.
Amazing.
He came in wearing Miami gear head to toe, left wearing Michigan gear head to toe. Otherwise, he'd have been naked as a Jaybird.
And that's what the podcast is right there.
That's a show.
It's sitting talking about.
You want to have me on?
I would love to. We'll come and talk your favorite game of all time, any sport, any place, anywhere. And I want to hear your perspective on it. And we'll, you know,
I covered mostly baseball when I was on ESPN. I got great stories for that.
I love baseball. The baseball back in when we were kids, it was fun.
I love it. So you got Paul Pierce. Does he talk about taking the wheelchair to the bathroom?
We talk about the wheelchair game. I specifically asked him if he pooped his pants.
Yeah.
And
you have to listen.
that's what we call a cliffhanger.
That's called a teaser. That's an old teaser.
You ask him that. And so what about, all right, now let me flip it on you. What's the oral history of that catch where the Boston knee party, as we were calling it, where you were catching it 15 times, finally grabbed it in the Super Bowl against, Atlanta. What's the oral history of that one? You're in the huddle. What happens? What do you
got? In the huddle, it's 2nd and 10. I mean, 2 minute drill. What do you need to do? There's three things you need to do. You got to get it started. You got to get a chunk play, and you got to stay on schedule with the play calling. So, you know, we got it started. We get into a 2nd and 10, or we didn't get it started. We get into 2nd and 10, and we hit this middle read in practice like three times over the two-week practice period for the Super Bowl. So I knew with the look that we got, the two safety look, inside leverage from the corner, it was a cover five look, two-man look. And so once I saw that, I was like, Tommy's going to come to me. So I had the middle read where you stick it and you keep it thin. And like the one thing you never want to see when you're running the route is when the defensive back turns and looks at the ball.
Mm.
And it's because I ultimately rushed my route. I ran a crappy route. And when he did that, that's like automatic pick usually. So you're sitting there like, oh my God, game's over. Here we go. Put the foot in the ground. Try to go to break it up. Goes off a leg. Goes off an arm. And then somehow come up with it. It was gnarly.
Look at that. Look how close the ball is to the ground.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And then you realize you caught it.
Definitely. I knew I caught it. Then I hit him with the Peter call. Go, Tom, Peter. Which gets everyone in line of scrimmage. And then when the other team sees it, they're like, they didn't think they caught it. Let's call a timeout.
Right.
We got them to call a timeout. Maybe they needed that timeout later in the game. I don't know.
Look at you.
I don't know. Situational football. That's, I mean, we sit in these meetings with Bill Belichick. You got to learn something.
Does he tell? Is that one of the situational football things that he tells you if you think you caught it and you didn't really?
That's a little high level.
That's very high level. But I don't put it past him.
It's a little high level.
I don't put it past him when he was on the NFL 100 All show that I did with where he was the analyst.
Yeah, okay? I watched it.
Okay, and he was just brilliant. He would say that he would show. He talked with Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
With Jerry Rice about how we are not going to let Jerry Rice beat us. And he told this story and how there was a 2-minute drill in Candlestick and how there was a whole fire drill in the 2-minute drill because Steve Young had mishandled the snap. And so everybody just ran a different fire drill play and they weren't situationally smart about sticking with Jerry Rice, and Jerry Rice beat him. And he'll always tell people to stick with the route no matter what.
Plaster him.
Yes.
Plaster.
And he says that he shows that video to people all the time and then also make sure that the next play, that you're ready for the next play. Don't stick with the fire drill.
Yeah.
Like, that's the sort of stuff he would do. So I believe it if he had said, hey, if you caught a ball – and you know you caught it. Scream Peter. So they'll burn a timeout. Like, why not? I love that.
Yeah, I could see him doing that.
But he didn't. You did.
I mean, I'm not saying I got a brain or anything.
Dude, that's a podcast right there. That's an oral history.
It's oral history.
Right there. And everybody should check out Games with Names with Julian Edelman and Sam Morrill when it launches next week, Tuesday, August 23rd. Available wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes will drop weekly. I've got Julian Edelman here on The Rich Eisen Show. What are you looking at? You're looking at the
Zach Wilson, huh? Meniscus.
How do you bruise your bone?
You can technically do that because the cut, he was really outside his base. So when you're outside your base, you can actually cut so hard that you
snap your bones together.
They hit, and so that's how they do it. I mean, when you tear an ACL, a lot of the times you get, like, I tore my ACL.
Right.
And I had an extreme bone bruise because of it. I mean, it's a violent cut, so you could see that. It's just crazy he didn't tear his ACL. You got to think, you know, knock on some wood for that.
I know, no doubt about that.
I'll go in there, either sew it up because he's young, or they'll shave it off.
What do you think is happening with Belichick and the play calling right now? The process. Can you
I think it's a learning process.
For who?
For everyone. The whole team. It's going to be interesting.
It already is.
It's very interesting because, you know, I watched that game. I watched it, the cut-ups, and a lot of the concepts are nothing I really realize, like I've seen. A lot of them are very vanilla, which is very procedural with preseason. They want to throw vanilla stuff out there and see mano y mano. Can the kid get open? Can he make the catch? Uh-huh. Let's not try to scheme anything up, but... You know, those are things I've never seen that, and it's going to be interesting. You know, it's Josh McDaniels he's a really good play caller, and we saw Josh McDaniels and Mac Jones work last year together, and we had some great results. Now you're going to see your biggest leap usually from your young quarterback year one to year two,
yeah,
because he's going to know the system, he's going to know the environment, the schedule. The everything usually comes easier second year, but he's going in with a completely different mindset at offensive coordinator, and now he's got to learn how they're going to call plays. They got to learn what plays he likes, and you know it's going to be interesting. You know, and you don't know how this actually, honestly, you don't know how this really came about. They could have had someone lined up, didn't go through. Something could have happened. It's hard to put a judgment on it. It's going to be a learning experience. But if anyone can do it, I mean, Bill Belichick, he's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, he is.
And he's pretty smart.
We had Tom Curran on from NBC Sports Boston. I'm sure you know Tom.
Yeah, Tommy.
And Tommy was – I asked him to suss it out, and his guess was that the offense had gotten so complex through the Brady era because Tom, you know, can add to it. McDaniels was there, and it got so complex that – receivers with quarterback backgrounds like yourself were able to grasp it fast enough to get on the field once joining the team, And that's why they've had issues with a lot of wide receivers like Sanu coming in or drafting kids that don't have the quarterback background. And Bill's like, we're going to take the opportunity with McDaniels gone now to simplify it and get two guys who I guess are going to help in that process. That's his best guess on that. I wonder what you think is.
I like that theory. I mean, at the end point of my last year there, I mean, it was getting pretty complex where like a play call would be zero out slot Fing, ride 134 F bow ice alert Gary. And like you have all that and they would condense it to the new guy. Like, cause the new player in college, all these guys are doing like one word calls everyone a play. So then they were like subbing formations with words. So the zero out slot was now Rome and, you know, Fing was this. So like I could see them trying to simplify to allow the kids to play, allow the guys to play fast. Because ultimately, if you know something, you could have six plays. And if you run them perfect against everything and you run those six plays damn good every single time, you should be able to do all right. You know, so you know, I could see them doing that. But you know what I'm really excited for? I'm excited for the AFC West.
Okay.
That's a transition.
All right. He's transitioning himself. Look at him.
This AFC is
why,
West.
Excuse me. This is AFC why West. This is why this guy is nominated as one of the best emerging talents on sports television. At the sports Emmys.
I think you had
a nice seat too, man. You were right up front. You were right up front. You passed by us on the way out.
I know some
You people. Definitely know some people.
I don't know.
All right. Okay. So what intrigues you about the AFC?
I think.
Say it. I know what
what do you think I'm going to say?
Say it.
I'll just say what I've been saying. I'll say what he's been. You want to say what you've been saying?
No, you go first.
I'll tell you if I'm right on these ones. Okay, go ahead.
Me first?
You first.
The Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs.
There's going to be a regression. I don't know if they'll miss the playoffs.
Okay. I'm saying McDaniels has the Raiders winning the division with Carr 2-17 and you know,
Waller, Renfro.
Well, Renfro, as everyone always says that he's, you know.
Chandler Jones, a huge pickup for those guys.
That's what I'm
saying. Crosby on the other side. Only thing I'm
losing. What we're thinking is not what you're thinking. So you have the floor, Julian Edelman.
I think dark horse in the race.
Denver.
Let's ride. Right. I'm just telling you, Vic Fangio had a great little defense out there that kept them competitive in a crazy division.
Fact.
Right? They weren't good.
True.
But they weren't terrible. They weren't getting blown. I would watch these games and I'd be like, this should get blown out. And they'd always be kind of a dogfight here and there. That defense is still pretty strong. You bring in Russell Wilson, the king of a guy that can like just grind wins away with like a non-great talented offense, which he did for like 6 years where he'd run around, create these huge explosion plays, two-minute drill extraordinaire. Like, and he's got something to fight for. He's hungry because, he still hasn't got his MVP. Last year there's talks that he's regressed. He's no more. He's not. I mean, look at this top 100. Well, there was like, who was above him?
Was Carr above him?
A lot of people were above him.
Oh, yeah.
What number was he?
I think Russ was in the 60s. Hold on.
60s, but I think Kyler was ahead of him, which Kyler's a good football player. He's an explosive football player, but he ain't Russell Wilson yet. Like, let's win a playoff game. So, like, that.
Yeah, and Kyler was 57.
Okay.
Russ was 61.
Okay.
I mean, it's crazy. And I know it's off of last year, which is not that far off because he was banged up.
Right.
I like Denver to go out there and make some noise. But with the Raiders, I think they're going to score points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Carr and McDaniels are going to do very well together.
Mm-hmm.
Carr's a really smart guy. That's what I've been hearing over there. This guy's picking it up very fast. Renfro, slot-looking guy.
Yes,
Adams, ex-guy that can make plays. Waller, Gronk-type guy. So they got some pieces. And then you got Jacobs. Like that, he's a good running back, even though I think they might, I can see them trading him and try to get someone in that secondary because that secondary is a little sussy.
Do you think he's showcasing him when he's running him in the Hall of Fame game? Like he's,
I don't know.
Like it's week 10? I mean, that was something.
He looked good.
He did?
He looked good.
All right, so let's ride. Let's ride since you're on the other one.
Okay. Let's ride or...
I mean, so I've got this whole segment planned with you, but I'm told you got to leave in 5 minutes.
Chargers. I mean, the Chargers are pretty good,
look
too.
You can't
hate on them. Like, Justin Herbert, kid's got pretty hair. He got a good ball.
All right, you got to choose that now. You're part of the paparazzi now. You can't just ride this fence. Let's ride. You can't let's just ride the fence. Who are you taking? I said the Raiders win this division. You say who wins the division? Denver? You can even take them to win the division? Now we're not riding.
I'm going with the Raiders as well. You got to score points.
Couple of Jewish kids talking ball.
Got to score points.
Julia, do you wish that you guys had never done Hard Knocks?
No. No. I don't want to get embarrassed on national TV.
What do you mean? You would have been a star of that show, though.
No, but like...
Come on.
You know, like... When you get into like Bill Belichick's meetings and like he'd have these like low lights of practice immediately, like right when you get in and you're sitting there trying to do the math, like how did he get all these damn plays? Like we literally got off the field 45 minutes and then he can like explain everything and like
what you did wrong.
What you did wrong.
He all cut up.
He'd have like a cut up and like the accountability factor that he made you feel when he would get on anyone for the wrong ME, missed error, or any like kind of sloppy fundamental type football play that we talked over and over and over about. Like that was the worst for a player, because especially if you're a player trying to make the team or you're trying to earn a role, because he's doing it in front of everyone. So the defensive guys are knowing that you ain't blocking the force, going in and grabbing that safety because they're hearing Bill talk about it. So it creates this environment of just like, you have to be accountable to the team. You don't ever want to let the guy down right next to you. You know what I mean? That's the one thing. You don't want to disappoint, you know, the guy who's throwing you the ball. You don't want to disappoint, you know, the guys that are blocking for you or anything. It's just like, it creates that environment.
Well, I just think it'd be like one of those top secret documents, like redacted, where all those lines are darkened out. Like that's what nothing would have gotten on the air if Belichick
Zero.
Was on Hard Knocks. Zero. You know what I mean? Like he'd have been like Patrick Waugh between the pipes.
Bears would have been
stopping everything.
Bears would have been over there just.
Yep,
nope.
That's out.
Nope. Oh yeah, you can have Bill twirling his whistle.
That's.
That's like the one cut everyone has of Bill Belichick,
and like,
the whistle
really
twirl.
Really short shorts.
Yeah. You could have that one.
That's in. That you got that.
All right. Well, so, I think you could have went grilling with the Will Forks one day. Like, that could have been an episode.
That's fun, sure.
You know what I mean?
Could have been really good. Could have been good. Or you could have had...
like the McCourty twins. You could have followed them around, like, doing weird stuff, like twin stuff.
Back in the day, you could have sat there on, like, a Saturday practice with Randy Moss breaking down 60 minutes from the night before.
Really? Like the news program?
The news program. Randy would come in every... Because Saturday's like a walkthrough game. Yeah. This is more... That's not training camp, but Randy would come in.
But Sunday, it's on 60 minutes on Sunday.
Or what's the one on 48 Monday. Hours?
Oh, okay, 48 hours.
48 hour, one of the things. First 48.
Dateline.
Yeah. One of them.
Randy Moss is breaking down Dateline?
Breaking down. Every Saturday, our receiver coach would get like so mad. He'd be like, hey, Randy, we got to coach me. And he's like, well, I can't believe this.
Enough with Stone Phillips, man. We got to get ready. Got to get ready for. You got to get ready for a big game, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Stone Phillips. Oh my God,
Randy,
he's amazing.
He was. It would have been fun in those years. In those years,
we had this whole segment planned, and you got to go, right?
What do we got? What's the segment?
All right, look, can we take a break? Can I get you 10 more minutes?
I'll go 10 more.
There you go. Let's do it. 10 more minutes. We'll take a break.
I'll go 10 more.
It's called Edelman True or False. We've got facts about you. We need to know if they're true or false on the internet.
Coloring in this is really good.
There you go.
It's good coloring.
Very good.
I talked to her.
Is he on what Rogers is on? What happened now? Wow, that's really bright. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit. All right, Julian Edelman is here, kind enough to give us an extra 5 minutes. Normally, it's a segment called Celebrity True or False when we have an actor or actress or musician come in here. Now we have changed it up. It's an Edelman True or False segment.
Edelman True or False.
Okay, you can't handle the truth.
All right, very good. Here we go. First item up for bids. True or False, Julian Edelman, your Kent State nickname was Jewel Santana.
True.
what is that all about? What's that about?
Joel Santana was a rapper back in that day.
Okay.
Oh boy.
There it is.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was me.
And then that was you.
Joel's
Santana.
Did you rock the bandana like Jules?
Nah, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't rock no bandana.
Okay. So that first one's true.
Early. When Dion used to, I tried to. But.
I like it. Next one up, true or false, Julian Edelman, you once conducted the Boston Pops Orchestra in a performance of Stars and Stripes Forever at the 2015 annual Presidents at Pops fundraiser. Is that a true story?
That is true. That was true.
Did you know what you were doing?
Yeah, we sat there.
Oh, look at that! You're in a full tux.
Full tux.
Get out of here. In the Lombardi?
My guy, Kurt. What's his name? Kurt? Who's the main guy? I don't want to. I feel really bad. He's been there forever.
I mean, the conductor?
Yeah, the main conductor.
Look it up. I just saw the Boston Pops in Nantucket 2 days ago.
Huh?
Keith,
I have my wand in my Boston house right when you walk in.
Wand,
Keith Lockhart.
My little, whatever it is.
It's not.
They gave me my wand.
Harry Potter.
Fully Harry Potter. I had the whole orchestra sign it. It was really impressive. It was great.
So did you like tap it like to get everyone ready? And did you do the full thing?
Yeah.
You
just rock that thing. You just stay on beat and you give a
Keith
couple
Lockhart's
of
Lockhart's been there Keith. Since 95.
Damn.
Keith.
Yeah.
He's had his wand for a long time.
What is it called?
Baton.
Baton.
Believe. Is it what it is? I don't know. I shouldn't say.
I don't know for sure. Conductor wand.
Next for Hogwarts. Next up, before Super Bowl 53, you got a tour from Atlanta from a stranger who did not recognize you. Is that true?
Full true.
What happened?
I was walking around. It was like we had a night off, and I was walking. And this guy may or may not have been homeless. I don't know. Don't have anything to say about it, but we became cool. I asked him for some directions. I got lost. He ends up taking me on a tour, shows me like where Martin Luther King grew up, and like we were like the fourth ward or the third ward. We ended up spending like an hour and a half together walking
Just
around.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us. Had no clue who I was. It was awesome. I got like a personal tour from a local, and you know, next is history.
And then you became Super Bowl MVP. That's how it works.
I think his name was Ronnie. Ronnie
the tour guy. Edelman, true or false, next one up, number two, number four on this list. Is it true or false you wrote two children's books?
That's Julian? False.
That's false.
False. I wrote three.
Oh! Excuse me, Dr.
Trilogy. Trilogy, guys. Trilogy. Flying high one.
Trilogy.
Two and three. After each Super Bowl,
you're flying
we've
high.
Gone out and we've made these awesome stories. Me and my partner, Soft Swissa. Look at that. It's been awesome.
I had no idea. Now you guys love it.
Got to check it out.
Okay.
JE11.com.
Where all books are sold.
Man.
Fantastic.
Self-published.
And now the last one is it really true that the Patriots have a dented Lombardi trophy on display because we saw what happened at Fenway Park where you flipped the ball towards Gronk and he bunted the ball or sunk a swing with the Lombardi trophy. Is that true?
Full true. Huh. And the crazy thing is, I didn't like soft toss this bad boy. I was giving him some straight heat. And like Gronk, the guy he is, like, bam, hits it. Like, what do you think? I think it's like platinum. It's a very delicate metal.
Silver. Yes, sir. It's Tiffany.
But it's not solid. It's hollow.
Right. So that's why it dents.
Right. Yeah. It has the seam mark still in there too.
So walk me through this. Walk me through this process. You're standing in this tent ready
so
to go.
So we're all about to get ready to throw the pitch, first pitch after we won a Super Bowl. And like everyone, there's a couple guys designated to hold the trophy. Gronk's got a trophy and we're messing around. And I was practicing my pitch. I didn't want to go out there looking like one of those guys.
Yeah. Was it 50 Cent? Is that the worst one of
Carl
all time?
Lewis,
okay, all yeah, of all
Mayor
time.
Cincinnati. There's some bad ones.
Yeah, it's on YouTube forever. You're on YouTube forever.
I threw a little gas. I'm not going to lie. Okay. Check it up.
Okay.
But I was warming her up, and Gronk's like, gets into the box, and I didn't think he was going to do anything. I throw it, and he literally like check swings it, and I'm like, what are we doing, bro? We
can't thought he was giving you a strike zone for you to warm up with.
Big strike zone, too. Confidence was going high.
Of course. I mean, you know,
tall guy.
Shoulders to knees. That's Brady's taking that, you know, helping get a Hall of Fame, that strike zone.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you didn't think he was going to actually.
Absolutely not.
Fantastic.
Fully hit it.
Last one. Was alcohol involved? Yes or no?
Not on that one.
Okay, very good.
Not on that
one. Not on that one.
There was another Lombardi trophy.
I mean, the parades.
Session.
The parades. Alcohol induced.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, the guy's athletic.
He's got it looked like he was up in there. Yeah.
He's got tough. Great load.
Yeah, that's right.
Eyes on the ball. But the thing is, we could be playing hoops, ping pong, hockey. And Gronk can actually do it all.
Well, Julian Edelman, thanks for coming in here, man. I really appreciate the time. Anytime. I know you stuck around. I hope you're not terribly late for your next gig. But everybody should check out Games with Names podcast with Julian Edelman and Sam Morrell starting next Tuesday.
Is it Morrell?
Huh?
It's Morrell. I think it's Morrell.
Did I say that? What did I say?
Morrell?
Sam Morrell? Sam Morrell?
Morrell.
All right. Manning, Paul Pierce, Michael Irvin, and so much more. Check out some of these incredible oral histories and all these recounting of stories at Edelman11 on Twitter and Instagram. You're the man. Thanks for
coming. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. We're back with more on your phone calls and set up hour three in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That is true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty as there appears to be right now in the market and beyond. But not every business is in the dark, folks. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers, and the reason why is because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you the visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and then, of course, inventory, so you can manage risks, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. In 2022, profit is the new growth. So NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your manual business processes, and see where to save money. Know your numbers, folks. Know your business and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to NetSuite.com/richradio right now. NetSuite.com/richradio. NetSuite.com/richradio. What a blast with Julian Edelman. Man, that guy is just the greatest.
The best.
Just the greatest. And I'd give him a call around Thanksgiving, wouldn't you? Says his body's feeling good.
If you need him. If you need him, yeah.
There's a prediction by week 12.
Cowboys? I mean, you could use him now.
We got Jules would use him now. Right now be WR2 if he walked into the camp. Why wouldn't you call the guy back if you're in need around week 12, right?
Tommy's going to be
36-year-old wide receiver. I mean, I don't think he's coming back, but what, you know.
I understand that's long in the tooth, but if he didn't look like he's sitting around eating Malamar.
No. He looked really good.
Okay, and he says his body feels good.
A year off.
And the only you know, stress he'll put on is wear and tear. It might be flying to New York or New Jersey to do inside the NFL.
Yep.
You know, so there you have it. That was fun right there.
That was great.
That was great. I agree.
We all pined for, though, Patriots Hard Knocks. Like, that was kind of the
ultimate. That would never happen, though.
I know it would never happen, but it's the one you most wanted to see.
It would open with sprinklers, there'd be black, and it would close with sprinklers.
Don't you remember?
Just an hour of black.
But as you know, teams do confab with
Well, we saw that with
HBO
the
and film. The Raiders, I mean, Mayock put the kibosh on everything.
Mayock wasn't even in it.
Because he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
And you remember all that stuff with Antonio Brown? Everyone was tuned in with the helmet and the feet and all that business. And you saw nothing. You saw like Gruden put his arm around him and give him a pep talk. Yeah. And you saw him talk up a little bit about his feet. And you saw his feet. You remember his feet got torched in some, freeze chamber or whatever. And everyone wanted to see his feet. And you hardly saw him.
Yeah.
But the whole world tuned into Hard Knocks for it.
Sure did.
Belichick wouldn't show you anything. Why he's not doing his play, why he's doing his play calling like this. I mean, Tom Curran yesterday was saying, why it's so simple to say we're just simplifying our offense a little bit more. But he doesn't want to give anybody anything about anything that could be viewed as anything important to anything or anybody. Like, that's literally their approach.
Yeah.
This week on Hard Knocks, sprinklers. Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and the whistle.
We'll let you have that. We'll let you have that.
Literally would be that.
Whistle twirl is that.
Because you can go this way, then you can go back that way. And that way. And then that way. You know what I watched last night when I was by myself? Because you guys mentioned it, I watched the old Mission Impossible movie last night.
The first one?
Number one.
Oh, amazing.
Isn't it great?
It's amazing.
It is, of course.
It's still really good. It's still really good.
Yeah, you said the first one?
The first one.
I watched it 3 weeks ago.
It holds up.
It's still really good. Well, the coming down.
Because now I'm watching movies to see, if my, if Zan can watch it or he'd be interested in watching it's a little bit confusing to follow.
The guy gets, there's a stabbing early on.
Well, it's confusing. I'm not talking about that. It's just the plot, too. It's just confusing.
Have to explain, John Voight, spoiler alert.
No, I mean, but the counterintelligence.
John Voight's character and the double. Yeah.
Right. Kittredge and all of that. But, seeing the Trey Grand Vitesse and the helicopter and all of that, that is amazing. And he looks the same. It's unbelievable.
Tom Cruise looks great, man.
He looks exactly the same. That was a lot of fun, to the point where I'd watch the second one tonight. I don't know if you...
Skip two. Two's not the best. Skip two, go to three.
Three's the best?
Well, three has got Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he plays the villain.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's
Is that the Ghost Protocol one?
No. Ghost Protocol, I think, is four.
By the way, I don't know if you're aware, but today, this entire show, has been Ghost Protocol.
Well, hold on.
You had no idea.
Hold on. I got to reveal it. I got to rip off my mask.
There you go. Wait a minute. You're Brockman. There you go. The old Ghost Protocol.
The masks. I love it.
All right. 844-204-H.
Oh, I put up some polls.
What do you got? What polls you got?
I put up some polls. They're all Del Tufo related, to be honest. Del Tufo called all of these overrated, but if you could only have one, who you got? Twizzlers, Starburst, or Skittles? Got to say, Starburst and Skittles neck and neck, 39% each.
What's going on?
Twizzlers, 22%.
Twizzlers are not, they're overrated.
And then a head-to-head straight up Twizzlers versus Red Vines, Twizzlers 71%.
Yeah, Twizzlers win.
But
Red Vines,
Pelissero just torched me for that approach.
Well, I was one person.
I mean, I'm team Twizzlers. Also,
I'm wondering, is Red Vines a Midwest thing?
Good question. Find out.
I think it might be.
Isn't the Red Vine a little more mushy?
It's just, it's
like a different.
It's like, to me, it's different. It's galaxies apart. Two completely different galaxies.
Red Vines from 1914.
Wow.
Wow.
Here you go. Frequently asked questions. I'm on the Red Vines website.
Oh, God. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff.
What's going on?
Bill's Warrior, let's take his call. Let's get here. Bill's Warrior, the location is Land of the Unknown. Where are you, Bill's Warrior? Where are you?
I'm currently in the Land of Known, Rich.
Okay.
And I have, after recent viewings of the show, I don't think I need to tell you much. But for the rest of the league and viewers, I've come to bear some painful news. The Buffalo Bills have an arsenal of weapons, and the only question is which team's willing to throw themselves under the raging stampede of snarling bison beasts making their way towards Glendale, Arizona for Super Bowl 57. The Bills are coming with the ultimate destruction this season. With a superstar cast of warriors, we're putting a stranglehold on the necks of all the opponents who dare to challenge us. They know there is nothing they can do because the one they call Josh Allen in the land unknown is coming for the jugular. And while you're taking in the pleasures of witnessing his greatness, go ahead and grab yourself the cold one because it's Miller time. The Bills have been waiting for a defensive player of Von Miller's caliber since the 1990s Bills Warriors ruled the AFC. Around training camp, Von Miller was compared to things like elastic, youthfulness, and the game of his airness, Michael Jordan. Our tight ends are nightmares for matchups with Dawson the Juggernaut and O.J. Howard. James Cook's already cooking and showing glimpses of his brother, Dalvin. Our draft prospects are already shining. And overall, the Bills have gotten more physical, especially with our D-line being the best our coaching staff has ever seen us. I caution the AFC East and the NFL. Do not step in our way unless you're willing to pay the consequences of utter annihilation off the face of the earth. And just a reminder, if anyone feels the need or wants to know what it takes to become a Bills Warrior, follow the football gods at BillsWarriors.com.
All right. And scene. There you go. You even got in his website. Does everyone have a website?
From Parts Unknown.
Everyone's got a website.
I think so.
I don't. We need a website.
I do.
You think he's fired up? We talking playoffs or what?
talking Super Bowl.
I think we are. Alan Shipnuckum, what's going on with the PGA in a moment? Here we go.
Grow up, I got excited.
You did, Mike. You did. You got excited.
Ghost guy got me like all excited.
Ready to run through a wall, Mike.
Do we know when this player's meeting for the players tour, for the PGA tour, is happening? It's happening now? Is that on Zoom? It's not on Zoom. I mean, Tiger's flying in.
Well, I'd assume a lot of the players are in Washington, D.C. for the BMW this
weekend.
Right, so. Jay Monahan was trending at one point earlier in the day, so I thought he was out.
Because Alan Shipnuck's tweet, if you wouldn't mind putting it up one more time, Mike Hoskins, this is what got me. Because he said that the players meeting
They're
for the
Delaware.
PGA Tour is going to be a banger. Supposedly everything on the table. From major championship boycotts, meaning what? Like the players are going to boycott the major championships if LIV Tour people are there? Or... these major championships should boycott these guys.
Players. That's how I read it.
Put it up again here, if you don't mind, because the other
I read it as boycotting items, the LIV players from majors.
So, but that would mean banning them, and this is a writer who could choose his words
that's
here.
That's true. Good point.
Monahan's future, meaning they're not happy with the way he's handling this.
Right.
to a larger compromise, meaning what? Like, again, like Monahan's future, they don't like the way that he's handling it because they think the LIV Tour players should be allowed in, or they think that the players shouldn't have any compromise at all and get out. I don't know. And so Tiger's going to counsel, bully, and cajole. Who is he bullying? People who are saying the LIV Tour players should be in or out. Like, what's the split about? Like, those. That's when I read that tweet. That's when I reached out, and I'm like, we should get him. And he's on in 2 minutes plus, because that's what I'm interested in, is what is the split here? Is it 50-50, let the LIV Tour players live, live and let live? Or live and let die, huh?
Hey. There's a report.
Excuse me, don't give news. You should. I just stuck the landing on that
line,
which
there
is
was
really
like 30 seconds, and I wanted to get this.
I'd like to
quick.
Spend the last few seconds basking in my. All right, what do you got?
Basking in his glory. Tiger showing up to this meeting to talk players out of joining LIV. Which a conspiracy going around is that is explaining Cameron Smith's withdrawal, so he doesn't have to meet with Tiger because he's already agreed to go to LIV.
Damn.